That's just fun to hear reports of prayer and how it works. Nothing was working there for her. Hey, I just want to make a few comments because in our small groups, we continue to go through the Gospel of Mark, and this week was Mark chapter 3. If you're joining us for the first time, we are progressing through the Gospel of Mark chapter by chapter, and we're reading the Gospel as if we have never read any of the Bible before, because Mark was the first Gospel ever written. It was sort of the intro to Christianity, the very first Christian document. And in the first chapter, we discussed what a silly religion Christianity was. That Christianity is like the worst religion ever. Because if you were going to invent a religion, you'd invent a religion that promised that life would be easy, you'd get wealth, you'd get comfort, you'd get success and all of that stuff. And Christianity sort of promises a life of hardship and sacrifice that ultimately gets rewarded, but Jesus, you know, pretty much says that your life is going to be harder. He's a lousy salesman as far as religion goes. And in the second chapter of Mark, we discussed about the ideas of forgiveness and repentance are at the heart of Jesus' teaching. But apparently, if you go by Mark chapter 2, God is willing to forgive you even before you repent. Because there's a story about how this paralytic shows up and Jesus says you're forgiven before even talking to him. You know? And so what kind of a guy forgives people before they even say I'm sorry? Right? So obviously Jesus misunderstands forgiveness entirely. Right? He gets it all wrong. That's what we talked about last week. I mean, he does all these healings and all these deliverances, and that's pretty cool. But as religious leaders go, Jesus is kind of whacked, right? And he's upsetting people because he's doing such a bad job being a religious leader in the Gospel of Mark. He's being kind of a good job being a miracle worker and stuff like that. But, you know, as a religious leader goes, he's really failing the grade. And in Mark chapter 3, just printed in the back of your bulletin, we'll put it up briefly on the screen just to read. Incidentally, it says Mark chapter 2 in the reference. That's wrong. It's Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 20. And then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. Jesus had been doing lots of healings, so he'd become quite popular. And these healings were the sort where no strings were attached, right? He'd just pass by, heal somebody, and not require them to be very righteous or anything like that. So he was getting quite popular with the crowds. And they were pressing on him, didn't even have time to eat. Now when his family heard about this, when Jesus' family heard about it, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he's possessed by Beelzebub, which was a name for Satan. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. He said, how can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. I tell you the truth. All the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He's guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, he has an evil spirit. Jesus' family had been tracking his progress, and we know that his mother Mary, at least, had some prophetic indication that Jesus was going to grow up to be an important religious leader. But because the religion that Jesus is preaching sounds all wrong, because Jesus is preaching forgiveness the wrong way, and because he's managed to upset all the religious leaders of his day, even his own mother concludes that Jesus is just going through a phase, right? His family says, well, you know, he's a little nuts. He's a little bit crazy. He's out of his mind. Isn't it nice when the people closest to you decide that you're nuts? It's so encouraging. And if that's ever happened to you, when you're trying to do good things, take comfort. It happened to Jesus as well. They conclude that he's crazy. And that gives you an idea just how bizarre Jesus seemed to the people of his day. Now, 2,000 years later, Jesus has kind of become an established figure, and we forget how bizarre he seemed when he showed up for the first time. Even his own family thought, quite literally, he was nuts. Even his own family. And then there are some people there called teachers of the law. They were experts in religious law. They were like experts on rules that you needed to keep to be righteous. And these guys take a look at what Jesus is doing, and you know they see the miracles, the healings, which they cannot explain, but they conclude that he's doing the healings by the power of Satan. Because in spite of the miracles, what Jesus is preaching is all wrong, right? He's preaching against rules. And that really upsets the teachers of rules, as you might expect. So they conclude that he's possessed, and Jesus answers them rather wryly, rather comically. He says, look, if I'm casting out demons by the authority of Satan, I'm undermining my own kingdom. And that's not very smart. Think it through, guys. That can't possibly be right. And then he makes this comment at the end. He says, I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. Period. Free and clear. He says, look, this is what God's like. He's going to forgive people of all their sins and all their blasphemies. I don't know what, we don't use that word blasphemy very much today. We might use the word like pretension or something like that. All the sins and all their lies. Every time they tell you that God is something that he's not. That's really what a blasphemy is. All that stuff will be forgiven them except blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. What does he mean by that? I think he's saying the only requirement of getting this crazy forgiveness from God is that you accept it. There's only one requirement, and that's that you accept that God is going to go about doing stuff in your life that is the wrong way, right? Accepting that God is weird. Sometimes Jesus might seem crazy. Sometimes he might seem bizarre, even possessed, if you're of that sort of mind. God is going to seem weird to you. But as long as you're willing to accept that this kind of God that we serve is a weird sort of God, not a God that's into rules, then you're going to be okay. If you avoid that blasphemy, that mistake, then you're going to be okay. It's like this. God is going to forgive whatever you've done, provided that you accept the forgiveness when he offers it. That's my summary of the teaching here. That's really weird for people that think that God is a rule keeper or that God is vengeful or that God is very religious. God's really not all that religious. He's generous. And if you're willing to accept that, if you're willing to believe that no matter what kind of life that you've lived, that he's going to give you something good first, then you're in. It's okay. People don't realize that they've won the lottery with God. I think most of the time we feel like we're disqualified because we haven't kept the rules very well. And Jesus' whole shtick was to go around and walk up to people he hadn't even conversed with and say, before you say anything, you're forgiven. Now, before you do anything, you're healed. Now, I don't want to talk about rules. I want to talk about God's generosity. That's what Jesus' ministry was like. So believe that. And I think you kind of understand the good kind of weird that Jesus is. Tonight is a healing service, and it's a time when we all come together, nightlife regulars, visiting Christians, seekers, non-believers, all sorts of people come to these healing services. And we decide that for an evening, we're going to try to believe together that God is generous. And no matter where we're at, God is the kind of God that might actually want to give you a good thing, independent of how you lived. He's going to give you a good thing just because you need it. And that's what we try to believe together at these healing services. That's our agenda when we come together. It's like God is into party favors. You've shown up, doesn't really matter where you've come from, you're going to get a party favor tonight just because you're here. All right. We're just going to believe that together tonight. That's the only agenda. And we're going to ask for good favors from God. Maybe like Jesus was in the Gospel of Mark, maybe God is into giving good gifts first and then sorting out other things later. If you've got something in your life that he needs to iron out, maybe he'll take care of that down the road. But he gives good gifts first, and he gives forgiveness first. All right, that's what we're about. There is no way that anybody here deserves a miracle from God. There's no way that anybody here deserves to be healed. And there's no way that anybody here deserves to perform a miracle of healing. But Jesus really wasn't into the deserving aspect, which is why people thought he was crazy and possessed and unreligious. Jesus was into the generosity. So, is he crazy? No. Was he possessed? No. Was he weird? Definitely. Right? But it's that good kind of weird that I can really appreciate. I'm totally thankful for it. If you feel a little weird for coming tonight to ask for a healing miracle, right? In a minute, I'm going to invite you to come forward and to get some prayer, and we're going to see if God will heal you of your ailment or injury. If you feel weird doing that, it's okay. God is into weird, right? Hopefully, you feel a good kind of weird, right? Hopefully, you feel God might actually be this way. God might actually be into doing really nice things for people who don't necessarily deserve it. If you're willing to be weird in that fashion, that's probably all it takes for you to really get going with Jesus in this world. Amen to weirdness? All right, I like it. I hope it feels just a little bit weird to you. Can we have the lights up, Glenn? We're just going to spend the rest of our time together praying for God to come and heal people. And I'd like everybody to stand. We just start off by standing.